Got like
Kind of weird you can't see the couch. It's like an invisible
I
couch.
actually like that you can't see the couch. Maybe we should do like a digital couch, but yeah, it does work. My guest today is Dylan Kasparek with the Mobility House. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I'm sorry to be laughing. I've been doing these since 2008 was my first podcast, and I have never done a slick intro. Ever. It's always a nightmare. I record five of them and then we'll figure it out. You guys are doing fantastic work. I think we've covered the Mobility House many times here on Electrek and before that, even CleanTechnica. But for people who are kind of new to this, or maybe they've heard the name, they're not quite sure what you do. I mean, you're not building mobile homes or campers. I always talk about the Mobility House.
Yeah, so we're a fleet VGI and electrification technology company. So we sort of can take the fleets from every stage of their electrification, from basic electrification, sell you chargers, make sure that they're operating reliably, have a service technician on call if anything goes down, and advise you on your electrification plans. Then we optimize everything in there, get the lowest cost of charge, make sure that you're doing everything efficiently, that all your sites are working at the optimal level. And then we maximize. So if you really want to get the most value out of an electric fleet, you want to be operating according to utility programs. You want to be installing bidirectional chargers so that you can actually sell power for with vehicle to grid and monetize that energy stored in your vehicle batteries.
That's cool. Now, we're talking about the energy stored in your vehicle batteries. A lot of people hear that. They're thinking about, the EV that they drive at home. And you just had a press release, I think this morning, about a new partnership that you have with Wallbox and Kia EV9 to use that and provide that power back to the home, back to the grid. Tell us a little more about it.
Yeah, so we released a new product this year, which is the Cascade EV Aggregator. And what that does is it connects vehicles to utility programs. We'll get a signal from the utility, and then we'll create a charge plan for the vehicle, whether it's in a home or a fleet. And if the vehicle executes on that charge plan, they get incentives or revenue from the utility program. And meanwhile, the utility gets a report back that, yes, the vehicle charged according to plan and was within the program. And yeah, that's what we're doing in San Diego County with Wallbox and Kia. So the Kia EV9 is a bidirectional vehicle, and the Wallbox Quasar 2 is a bidirectional charger that is interoperable with that vehicle. And we installed the very first one in San Diego County and connected to that Cascade EV aggregator.
That's cool. You said something there that I really want to touch on. You say if the vehicle charges according to the plan or executes on that plan. And I think it's important to know that when you take part in these utility programs, when you sign up for these programs, most of the time, if there's a situation where you say, man, like grandma's 200 miles away, I need to make sure that my vehicle has charged for that. There's inclement weather, there's something going on, she's on some different medication. You can opt out on that night or that week or whatever, and then opt back into it when you maybe don't need that power.
Yeah, it's basically a notification on your phone that says a charging event is coming up, or we're going to be discharging your vehicle, and you can basically swipe left or swipe right.
Now we're talking about this in the context of, I think, a personal EV, a home EV, which is I think where most people kind of land when they think about this stuff. But if you're a municipality, you have a municipal fleet, police fleet, ambulance fleet, how can you in like one yard or in one building kind of keep track of all those vehicles and see which ones are participating and not participating?
So that's where the charge management system really comes into play. You have a depot map where you can see all of your stalls, what vehicle is at what state of charge and what it needs to be at. And you're really managing your energy at a granular level with ChargePilot, which is our fleet charge management system.
And with that charge pilot, I can assign different charge programs or state of charge priorities to different vehicles, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Prioritization. And in fact, ChargePilot is already programmed with your vehicle needs if it's a predictable route, like a school bus fleet or a transit fleet. So it's already built in, and on the day-to-day operations, it should be doing it automatically.
You mentioned school bus fleet. I think this is probably the second time you mentioned it. That is something that a lot of utilities, a lot of people are looking at as a really a distributed energy resource because for so much of the day, they're idle, they're connected to the grid, and they have just massive batteries. When you look at the policies that are coming online in Illinois for massive amounts of battery storage, when you see that kind of economies of scale start to happen in Texas and California, where people are looking for battery storage to kind of shave off peak costs or peak load demand, are you looking at the fleets that are already out there to be able to do something like that by adding your system over it? Or is this something that you kind of need to build out from the ground up?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so cool what the schools are doing. You know, it was really kickstarted by the Clean School Bus program from the EPA, but now the states have been picking up the slack, as you mentioned, and there's so much innovation happening at the district level, and it's really amazing to see that because it's for the kids, you know. But to your question of where to start, that's why we sort of talk about it as electrify, optimize, maximize. Get that basic electrification done first, right? Get from it's a transformation to a new system. Everybody from the drivers to the maintenance team is going to be learning how to operate this new type of equipment. So make sure you get some rock solid equipment, good vendors that you can trust, that you can talk to, that'll help you out when you're in a bind, and then start working on the more advanced energy stuff like optimizing energy bills and going bi-directional. It is a little bit more expensive for the bi-directional chargers, but it's going to access that value in being a real player on the energy market, essentially.
Now, you made a great comment yesterday that really stuck with me and made me want to get you on the show of, you know, the V to G stuff is cool, but we need to do V1G.
Sure.
And I love that. So exactly what you said to me yesterday, say it again for the kids at home.
Yeah, well, it was in reference to Cascade EV Aggregator, right? So Cascade can do V1G and V2G. And when we say V1G, we're basically talking about unidirectional managed charging. And it's time of use, it's demand charge avoidance, it's demand response. So when the utility is sending a signal that says cost of energy is going to be higher right now, you can essentially just stop charging or reduce charging to a minimal level for vehicle readiness.
Is that something that I'm doing through an app or that a fleet manager is doing and making that decision? Or is it something that's set within the boundary where it says, like, hey, the energy rate is now above this, stop charging, and I don't have to worry about it?
Honestly, the rate structures of these utility programs are way too complicated for any person to really keep track of.
Yeah, they're
So
bad.
thank God we have AI for that. You know, it's all built into the optimization. And so when I say Cascade is creating a charge plan, that's usually on like a 24, 72-hour advance. You know, we'll get the signal from the utility, we'll create the charge plan for the day. But then at the edge, so ChargePilot, the charge management system, is an Internet of Things edge controller system, essentially. It's software, but it's also got a piece of hardware installed on site that has the algorithm on it. And so without needing to listen to the cloud, it already has the charge plan on there, and it's ex executing on a microsecond to microsecond basis
That's cool.
based on all of the variables that might happen, whether HVAC switches on, whether a new vehicle plugs in. It knows what the utility rate is and what the most optimal cost to charge is, and it knows what your vehicle need when it needs to be charged.
Does it ever go, man, the most profitable thing to do right now is to shift energy from the vehicle to the building to run the HVAC on that rather than pull it from the grid?
Sure, and we would be interacting with the meters that are monitoring building load, with your building energy management system. If you have a microgrid, then with the microgrid controller. We're mainly managing the EV aspect of it, but we're definitely in communication with a whole site's energy systems.
I think that's a great answer. You know, I am very critical of AI. I don't like this idea of AI art. I don't trust AI to like do my math yet because
Right.
I've caught too many weird mistakes.
Yeah.
But this does seem like a really good use for AI, right? Where it's like, hey, if it's above this, switch it. If it goes below this, switch it back. I can set that and forget it. Even if it gets it wrong, you know, like what they say, it hallucinates a third of the time. Even if it gets it wrong a third of the time, that's way better than me. I'm not even going to check my phone.
Right. So what you're talking about is the way that most people experience AI is with large language models, LLMs, right? And they're error prone, and they are interactive, and they're really interesting, but they do have errors. The way that we use AI in charge optimization is machine learning and Internet of Things edge computing. So this is very deterministic. It has a set algorithm. It manages electron by electron, microsecond by microsecond, very precise.
Yeah, and that's what you want out of a system like this, especially when you start talking about hundreds and hundreds of vehicles. How big could this get? Like, if a utility came to you and said, we're doing a pilot program, we're going to do a 3 gigawatt massive BESS installation, we're going to hook up some windmills to it, and then we're going to connect all of our utility response trucks to it. Like, do you go, man, I don't know if we can handle that? Or do you go, oh yeah, you just need one of these?
That's where the mobility house thrives. And it's not as simple as you just need one of these. It's we're going to partner with you to make sure that the electrical design is done right so that it specs in an advanced charge management system that can account for and interact with all of those. That you're talking about a lot of different communication protocols that are going to be required for the EV to be speaking to different types of microgrid controllers, meters, utility signals, which are come on another communication protocol. So your charge management needs to be able to speak all of those compute languages.
We talked a little bit about Kia and Wallbox. I know we're coming to the end of our time commitment, so I'll try to make this fast. You mentioned vendors you can trust, proper electrical design. There has been a lot of press releases, I think, over the last few years with you guys working with Kia, working with Wallbox. What's the relationship there? Are they vendors that you can trust to get it right? Is there like an ownership of one or the other? Are you guys all kind of like one big happy family? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, when you build on open standards, there's still a lot of testing and integration that's required to get these products working together
Absolutely.
when you're working across brands. And Kia and Wallbox have a great partnership where they've announced their interoperability between the Quasar 2 and the EV9 and some of the forthcoming models. And the mobility house is integrated with that via the Cascade integrator aggregator to be the aggregation platform that connects to the utility platform. So the car is talking to the charger, and that integration's been tested, and the charger is speaking to the aggregation, and that integration's been tested. And so we're an independent company, but we work closely with those guys to make sure the products work seamlessly.
And you're also working with a number of utilities out there that are putting some incentives on the ground or on the hood, I guess, of some of these vehicles so that people can uptake this and participate with it. Obviously, it's probably a longer list than we have time for, but who are the big players there that who are listening to this and they go, oh man, I'm in Baltimore, I'm in San Diego, I'm going to check with my utility and see what incentives I can take up on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say if you're in the state of California, Massachusetts, or New York, that's where a lot of the really good action is happening right now. If you own one of these bi-directional vehicles in those states, whether it's the Kia EV9, the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Chevy Silverado or Equinox, the Nissan Leaf, which is still out there.
Still out there?
And I was a proud Leaf driver for a long time. You can look into it
Yeah.
and you can reach out to the Mobility House at mobilityhouse.us. And we've got a VGI page on there where you can type in your address and info and find out if you're eligible.
That's awesome. I'm going to ask you for that again, but I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. I'll have that link for you. And yeah, man, thanks for being on the show. And thanks for being a part of ACT Expo, which is where we are now in Las Vegas. And I hope all the big trucks and bus fleets are coming to you and finding out what you're doing.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Of course. Oh, by the way, last call. Dylan has the best swag of anybody at the show. It is a Chocowatt bar. I'll have that in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out.
Hey, you're making a marketing director's day right here, okay? So thanks a
All right, man.
lot.